Amen. I love the Lord. He's good to me. All right, let's look here. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to try to get into the first couple parts of the Lord's Prayer tonight, but just to do a quick recap of the last time, I'm not going to go over everything, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says this. It says, but when you pray, so there's a key right there. It says, but when you pray, so it sounds like the Lord is expecting us to pray, right? It says, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Isn't that good? Now, this chapter talks about, and Pastor Tom talks about this a lot, three things that we do in secret that God will reward us openly. How many of you guys know what those are? Anybody? Praying, fasting, giving. Giving, fasting, and praying in secret to the Lord. It's Pastor Tom's song. Opens up the windows of heaven. Enough singing. To receive an open reward. There you go. So, but this is where I believe when the Lord says, go into a secret place. This is where relationship begins, I believe. Because when we're alone with the Father, that's when we can truly share our heart with Him. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Because it's hard when in a public place. Do you want to be confessing all your sins in front of everybody? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Some things are meant to be personal. My business is my business. You know, that's between me and the Lord. Amen? Right? And so that's, I believe, you know, and again, he talks about don't be like the hypocrites, you know, that they like to pray out in the streets. They like to pray out in public so they can be seen of men, so they can have the applause of men. But again, there's no relationship element there. And I believe that's one of the main purposes of prayer is to have that fellowship and communion with the Lord. Amen? It's, you know, it's a place where we can, like I say, kind of bear it all to the Lord. We can talk about our struggles. We can talk to Him about the things in our lives that maybe we're embarrassed about. You know, sometimes you may have aught against a brother or sister in the Lord, and there's nobody else to go to but the Lord. You got to have somebody to talk to sometimes, amen? Sister Marcia, you know, as being in leadership and pastoral roles, you can't just go talking to everybody in the congregation, can you? We got to go straight to God sometimes because it's just the way it is. It's a place, too, that where we can receive peace and strength and guidance and forgiveness. And like I said, not all of our business is public for public discussion. Amen. We have to have some private conversations. Those of you guys who are married or have special friends, sometimes you got to, you know, have private conversations with them. Because, again, certain things are confidential. Amen. But that's really where relationship, I believe, begins to grow and to be developed is in prayer like that. And, again, not that we don't pray publicly, but when you're trying to build that relationship, go to that secret place, as the Scripture says. Jesus told you to do it. Amen. And again, it's just like a marriage. You know, there's a certain level of intimacy that a husband and wife shares because you guys, you know, as a husband and wife, you live together. You see that person when they get up in the morning and their hair is sticking up 10 different directions. Their breath smells bad, you know. All that kind of stuff. You see them at the worst times and the best times. Brother Steve knows this, being in ministry. You know, when we visit people in the hospital, it's some of the worst times of their life. Some people are nigh unto death. Then we go to weddings, you know, then, you know, the next day we're doing a wedding. It's the most joyous time in people. So, you know. But you know what? God, church, is the only one that has been with us from day one. 24/7, 365. Amen. Huh? Before day one. That is right now. That is technically correct, brother. And in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they're heard by their many words. So we covered that. Then we jump over to Matthew chapter 7. This is a scripture that's very interesting because it says there in verse 21, Matthew 7:21, It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many works, many wonders in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See that word new right there. Now that has various meanings, and that's a key word right there. But because that scripture always bothered me, and it still kind of does. It's still kind of a scary scripture. But if you look up in it, it says, those, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of my Father, that's who's going to enter the kingdom. It's not all these works that we do. But again, how do you know the will of the Father? We got to read his word. We got to pray. Ask God, lead, guide me, direct me. I want not my will, but thy will be done. Right? That's what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. But it's interesting, he said, I never knew you. And that word in the Greek is gnosko. And that word means to properly to know someone, especially through a personal or firsthand acquaintance. Interesting. Now, Brother Wayne looked it up in his concordance over there, and it's a little bit. Again, this has various meanings. One of the meanings is, using the example of Luke chapter 1, verse 34, when Mary, who was a virgin, said to the angel, how will this be since I do not know, that word know right there, a man? So that's in an intimate, you know, personal way. Amen? So that, again, I believe that's what prayer does. It helps us to build that relationship. So, again, you can say you know people. You might know about them, but do you really know them? Isn't that right? You know, when you date your spouse, you know them a little bit, but then once you marry them and spend more time, then you find out a lot more about them, amen? Because you're spending a lot more time with them. So, fully acquainted, that's right, amen. Close and personal, yes, yes, yes. That's what God wants. Sometimes I pray, I kind of backed off a little bit because I prayed when I was younger. I said, Lord, let me feel your heartbeat. I want to feel what you feel. But I'm telling you, it got so heavy, Brother Wayne, I had to quit praying that because the burden that the Lord, you know, again, I asked a question, I think the last time I taught. I never even thought this. I'm like, Lord, how was your day today? Have you ever thought about that? Ask God, Lord, how was your day today? Imagine everything that he sees. He sees it all. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, right? So he sees everything in the world at one time going on. I can't imagine that. And then how he feels. And so just a thought. But anyway, okay, back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be like them, talking about the hypocrites, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. But he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. And again, I believe that this, the Lord's Prayer, it's not something that I think you have to recite word for word, verbatim. But I believe the Lord just gives us a beautiful outline to, here's a guide to help you to pray. Amen? A pattern, yes, very good. A pattern to help us to pray. Because when you're new with this, if you're new in the Lord, it's hard sometimes to pray. Even again, like I said, if you've been, you know, like my wife, she's not a person for many words. I'm the talker in our family, as you can probably guess. But, for somebody like her, it's like, I don't know what to say. You know, you're just sitting there, okay, God, hi, how you doing? Thanks for this day. You know, bless me on my way. But like Brother Steve, now we passed out these names of God because, this can be a pump. That this can be something to help prime the pump of prayer in your life, okay? So let's look at this. So the first one says in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer there, verses 5 through 8, our Father in heaven. Let's everybody say that. Our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Now notice a word, it says, whose father?
Our
father. Now what does that indicate to you guys? Yeah. We're family. So look at somebody sitting by you and say, you're not the only child of God in his kingdom. Because I'm a child of God too. Amen. We all are. And God, he's just not your father. He's mine too. Right? And that's a good thing, isn't it? And I believe God put that in there for us. But the Lord said that specifically to keep us Gentiles in mind. Because again, imagine at that time, you know, this gospel came to the Jew first, the Bible says. And Jesus was a Jew. So imagine, you know, but he included us. And there's a scripture, and I'm so glad the Lord had us in mind when he said that. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. It says, and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So I believe when he said our Father, he had us in mind too. God is not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God of Donna Harris, right? He's a God of Marsha Meadows right there. Amen. He's a God of Chelsea Lucas. Amen. Sister Danielle Stanton. He's a God of Sister Danielle. Amen. Steve Rust. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Huh? And yes, amen. Amen. He's our God. Thank you, Jesus. So praise his name forever. Hallelujah. There's many spiritual children in the kingdom. And even though he is our father, each one of us, this is what's awesome. Each one of us can know him in our own personal way. Isn't that neat? That's the cool thing about God. Think about somebody you know. Again, Brother Steve Russ, Pam knows him in a way different way than we know him. Some of you know him as Pastor Steve. You may have got acquainted him with at a hospital visit. He may have done your wedding. You know what I'm saying? You may have just seen him in the hallway saying hi to you with a cup of coffee. You may have went to the discipleship class with him, you know. But we can all know God in our own special way because we're all on a journey. Amen? And in our journey, I hate it sometimes because it seems like some things just go great for people and some things just are bummer for other people, you know? But anyway, no matter what our journey entails, we can know God in a different way. And I can attest to this, and I bet some of you can too. If it hadn't been for some challenges in our lives, we would have never known God in a specific way if it hadn't have been for that challenge. Amen. I can tell you, I've known him as in some of these names here. Well, I'll hold off on that, so because I want to talk about these names. But we all can know him in our own way. So when we approach God, he wants us to approach him relationally. Amen. He wants a relational relationship for us to have that with the Father, not just to know, oh, that's the Father. No. He's my father. He's our father. Amen. Now, again, this may be difficult for some of you folks because maybe you never had a father. Maybe your relationship with your father wasn't the best. You know, that can be tough for some folks. Thank God I had a good daddy. But if you didn't, we've got our Heavenly Father. Amen. That we can look to help us. And he's watching out for us to help us and to help us on our journey with him. And we as earthly fathers, we need to look to our Heavenly Father to see what a true father looks like and to model his example of what he gives us in the Word. Amen, Brother Brewster? Because I can tell you this, I can promise you this, if I didn't have the guidance of the Word of God, I would be a wreck. I'm not the best father, in my opinion, anyway, but the little good that I do... do as a father, it's nothing. It's by the grace of God. It's by his guidance and leading of his Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. Now, thinking about the Father here, it's a position of authority and responsibility. Did you know that? It's a very serious responsibility. As fathers, it's our responsibility, the Bible says, to raise our children. Ephesians 6, 4 says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Amen. It's the father who is ultimately responsible for providing for his children. Something else. That's a big responsibility, brothers, for us to have. But our Heavenly Father is ultimately responsible for providing for his children, too. He's a good, good father. Like the song says, that's who you are. That's who you are. Amen. I believe Philippians 4:19. Does anybody know what that one says? For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So he'll take care of his church. He's a good father. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to forsake us. Fathers are also responsible for protecting our families. And again, I'm using this as parallels so you can see with our Heavenly Father. Job 1:10, when Satan came to God and said, you know, let me have Job. God said, hey, have you seen my servant Job? And he and Satan said this, have you not made a hedge around him and around his house and around all that he has on every side? So there was a hedge of protection that God had around Job and his family. Amen. So God, he's our protector too. Amen. So when we come to God in prayer, we have to be reminded of this, that we are submitting to his authority and to his headship. Amen. Because we as men, we're the head of our households, right? If we're married and have children, we're the head of our households. We're responsible. So when we go to prayer, when we go to our Father, we're submitting to his authority. He is the head of our lives, right? He's the head of our household. Amen. Okay. So let me ask you guys this. Why do you think we pray, brothers and sisters? Why do you pray when you pray? Jesus is our example. I think that's one of the reasons why we should pray. Well, if Jesus does something, we should do it too. Amen. Just like baptism. You know, there's a big, people were asking, you know, are you saved if you're not baptized? Well, I say this, follow Jesus' example. If Jesus got baptized, we need to get baptized too. Amen. However, look at Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. It says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Isn't that awesome? So if Jesus draws away to the wilderness, that's a secret place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not trying to be funny, but that's really why I love to go fishing. I like to get out at the lake. I find a cove back someplace where it's just me and the Lord, and I can just talk to him, think about him, worship him, pray to him. I love that. And another reason why we pray to God is because he has the power to help us, amen, when we have a need. You kids, if you have children, what does your kids do to you, mom and dad? They come up, mom, I need this. Mom, I need that. Need a pair of shoes. Got to have this for school. They know who to go to. Just like us, we have to go to our Heavenly Father. He can take care of all of our needs. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's look at the next one here. Hallowed be your name. This is where we'll spend a little time on this tonight because I love this. And hallowed be your name. Brother Wayne. We'll pull this up here, get that ready in just a moment. Now, that word hallowed there means this. So we have our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name or thy name. Now, let's break this down. Let's think about this a minute. The word hallowed means to render or treat as holy, to set apart, to reverence. It's not something that is something that's a common thing. God is set apart. He's holy. He's righteous. He's to be reverenced. Amen. And brothers and sisters, listen, I know, and again, I'm not trying to bring condemnation on anyone, but, you know, some people go around, they'll say, oh, God or Jesus, be careful. You know what I'm saying? Because God is a holy God. And anytime we speak his name, according to what I can see in Scripture here, we have to reverence that name. That's why I cringe when people take the Lord's name in vain, and there's the dual meaning behind that, but when they just use his name irreverently, that's not a good thing. Amen? Am I preaching too strong on you? I think I'm pretty easy on you guys. Okay. All right, so there are many different names for God, and we'll start with the most common one and found in the Old Testament 6,500 times, and it's Yahweh. Yahweh. That is the personal name of God, is Yahweh. We see in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses was out in the wilderness for 40 years, he actually ran from Egypt and was hiding out there. Remember, he killed, was it one of the Egyptian soldiers or guards? And killed him because he was, I guess, abusing one of the Hebrew slaves there. And then one of the two Hebrew slaves there, they got into a fight, and one of them said, "Are you going to kill us like you did that guard?" So Moses took off running to the wilderness. But sometimes God's got to get us out into the wilderness so he can speak to us and get some things prepared in our lives so he can use us in a powerful way. Amen? Okay, so Moses is out there, and one day God shows up to Moses in the form of a burning bush. Can you imagine that? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? And tells him about these miracles that he's about to perform through Moses. And Moses asked him, "Who shall I say sent me?" You remember that story? And God said to tell them, "My name is Yahweh," in Hebrew, which is translated, "I am who I am." I am who I am. So essentially, he said, "Tell them that I am sent you." Sent, yes. And so when you see the name of the Lord in all capitals in the Bible, that's this word Yahweh. And listen, the Jewish people, there was that, when I was at World Harvest, there was a little Jewish lady up there, and she said that the Jewish folks, they don't really say the full name Yahweh. They leave out the vowels in there, so you'll see it YHWH. Because his name is too holy. Yeah, there we go right there. Yahweh, the personal name of God, the tetragrammaton, there you go, the YHWH. It's unlike titles such as God is considered to be distinct, personal name by which God revealed himself to Moses. And the earliest place in Scripture where God gives us his name, and there it's found in Exodus chapter 3. Amen. Talk in your mic here, sister. Unmute her pink one, buddy.
Caitlin just sent me this morning a video, a study of where there's a certain section of the lungs that when you do the breath in, it's ya, and then when you exhale, it's way. And I can't remember the name of it, helio something or other. And it is the actual breath that you breathe, the breath of God, Yahweh. Yes.
Sister Chelsea. Can somebody take a mic back to her real quick? Pass that back. For the internet so we can hear you on there. We can hear you in here, but we have hundreds of people watching you, Sister Chelsea.
Oh, no pressure. I've heard that theory as well, and I read a study, probably the similar study, but something adjacent to that, where because it is the sound your lungs technically make, the breathing in and the breathing out, then no creature on this earth doesn't speak the name of God. The first breath a baby takes speaks the name of God.
Wow.
The Satanists speak the name of God. Every living creature can't help but their lungs just beg the name of God and plead it. So it's, anyway, it was
That's
just an
awesome.
Interesting study.
Isn't that wonderful? And we look into Genesis when God breathed into man the breath of life. Yeah. Hold on, we got it. Nope, we got to have it on the...
Well, I don't know if this is true. I've heard this a long time ago, and I know it was taught by a pastor, but I don't know which one. But I heard the word was written without the vowels. And we have put the vowels in there because his name is so sacred, so holy, that no man can name. So,
yeah, the Jews won't use it. So that tells us something there, folks. Amen. God's is awesome. You know, even when we speak the name of Jesus, I don't even feel like I can speak that properly. You know what I'm saying? Because of that's such a powerful name. Amen. And Jewish tradition, it talks about a name is much more than a name as we see it today. They believe that a name transforms a person's identity, which is why so many of the names in the Old Testament describe the character of the person. So, you know, if you read through the Old Testament and things like that, you'll see people were named certain names because there was a meaning behind that. Can anybody think of one offhand? Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver, but what was his name changed to? Israel, yes, which means father of a multitude. Father of a multitude. Okay, that's a good one there. What about Abram? Changed to Abraham, right? So he went from being an exalted father to a father of a multitude. Okay? Jacob, like you said, that word means deceiver. But then after it's changed to Israel, he means he strives with God. Amen. He wrestled with God, right? He said, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. He got smote in the hip. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Simon, which means one who hears, he got a new name, Peter, which means rock. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, right? The gates of hell shall not prevail. So there's other different names, meanings in there throughout the Bible. And the same goes for the names of God. So we see name after name explaining his different characteristics and nature through the Old Testament. So let's look at some of those here tonight. And then I don't want to give you too much tonight, but let's look at those. So let's go to the first one here, Brother Wayne. These slides are pretty pretty awesome. I might call some of you guys to look up some of these scripture references so you see where these names are first mentioned. But one of the names, and again, Brother Steve, he's got this list. Some of these names are on his list. Some may not be. I just picked about 10 or 15 of these names tonight to cover with you guys. So Elohim, have you all ever heard the word Elohim? I've heard that one a lot. It's found what means supreme God, strong one, creator God. And in the beginning, God or Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The attributes of this name is mighty, plural of form of El, pointing to the Trinity, three in one. Amen. Here's some other scriptural references. Let's go to the next one here. Okay, El Shaddai, which means God Almighty, all-sufficient one. Amen. It says, now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, or El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. It means all-powerful. He's enough. He's more than enough. Amen. He's all we need, church. Just like the song says, he's all we need. We got some scripture. Let's look this up real quick. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Somebody look that one up. Let's see what that one says. Somebody's got that one. Hey, just pull your phone out and say 2 Corinthians. We're going to allow that. 12:9 and let that pull up real quick. You got it? Go ahead, sister. Hold on. Say that again.
Oh, that's not the whole verse. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen. So his grace is sufficient, it says right there, right? He's the all-sufficient one. Okay, brother, let's go to the next. I'm going to come back here and preach with you guys. Okay, El Elyon, which means most high God, supreme. Amen. It says, Genesis 14:20, and blessed be God most high, El Elyon. He's our Father in where? Heaven, right? Which means he's higher than anyone. There's nobody higher than God. Isn't that awesome? That's the God that we serve, church. That's our God. He's our God. Amen. And blessed be God most high, El Elyon, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He gave him a tenth of all. So there's some scriptural references. It means he is exalted above all. He is absolutely has absolute right to lordship and sovereignty. He's the most God, high God supreme. I love that. Let's somebody look at Psalm chapter 2. Who's got Psalm chapter 9, verse 2. Let's look at that. Let's look at that little reference right there. Somebody's got that. Just holler if you get it. I'm getting you guys. I like audience participation. Okay, sister.
I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
Amen. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to you, our God Most High. Is that right? It's kind of out of memory. Close enough. He's God Most High. So you see how the scripture, how the references to these names of God, that's amazing, isn't it? So we go from Yahweh to all these different names. Amen. Okay, let's go to the next one, Brother Wayne. El Roi, God who sees me, God of seeing. Amen. I'm telling you sometimes, church, you feel like, God, do you even see me? Do you notice me? Right? Sometimes as when you're going through the dark valley, sometimes as teenagers, sometimes when you're younger, does anybody even notice me? Amen. That's a thought. But Hagar, this is the story here where Hagar was the servant of Sarah, Abraham's wife, because Sarah couldn't have a child, so Hagar gets pregnant. And then Sarah gets, I guess I'm kind of paraphrasing, gets jealous and upsets and starts mistreating her. So she runs away. And the scripture says, Then she, Hagar, called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God who sees me. El Roi, for she said, have I even seen him here and lived after he saw me? So here's some attributes here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. Let somebody look that one up there. Let's just see what that one says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. If you got it, holler.
You got it?
Yeah. That your alms may be in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret himself, shall reward you openly.
Okay. So your Father who sees in secret, he sees it when you've been hurt. He sees it if you've been abused. He sees everything about your life. You might not think he knows, but he knows, church. Like that song Pastor Tom sings, he knows, he cares where you are. He's right there. He sees, right, your heart. What's the rest of the words? And all your wounded, broken parts. He knows all about it. Yes, I like that. God knows all about it. Amen. This is the God that we serve, church. Hallelujah. He sees. He's a God who sees. He's not forgotten you. Amen. Okay, let's go to the next one, brother. Oh, I like this one. That's a song. My God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. Okay, where's the first reference of this? It's Genesis 22:14. Does anybody know this story? What's the story here, guys? Do you remember this? This is a place where Abraham went up the mountain with his only begotten son, Isaac, the promised child. And God says, take him up to the mountain. And as Abraham had the knife ready to take the life of his son, the angel spoke out and said, stop! There's a ram in the thicket. Amen. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it said. To this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. He provided a sacrifice, which was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Amen? On Mount Calvary. Hallelujah. Preaching better than you guys are shouting tonight.
Shout yes, somebody.
Shout yes, somebody. Okay, Brother Wayne, what's the next one we got up? Are you guys learning anything tonight?
Listen,
take one of these. If you just learn one of these things, get just something. If you can improve 1% each week, you will have improved 52% by the time that year's over.
On that provider?
Yes.
In Genesis, he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice.
That's right. Yes, he did.
And everybody always preaches the lamb was, it was a lamb, a ram that was caught. The lamb wasn't until Golgotha.
The lamb of God slain? Before the foundation of the world, God already had a plan in motion.
Himself.
Now, I want you to testify, brother, since you got a mic. Give this class a testimony of just anything as simple that God has provided for your family, that you had a need, and you're like, God, only you can provide for this need.
I could go on for days.
Just give us one testimony.
I was without a job forever. I had two young children. and I was living off of unemployment, which was nothing. I couldn't get food stamps because I'd had a piece of property and they wouldn't give me anything. And I'm like, God, what am I going to do? Nobody will hire me because of the job that I had before, and I had a really good job. And I went 6 months, nothing. The very last day, the last check that I got a job. See, God allows us to be tempted. Everything on this earth will be tried. Why did God allow a war in heaven? Read it. There was a war in heaven. He could have shut it down like that. But he wanted to know who was with him.
Yes.
He wanted the angels to be tried. We think that the angels didn't have a choice. They had a
free
choice.
Will.
And God allowed them to battle in heaven.
Yes.
The place of ultimate peace where we want to go. But God, that's what he's been doing from the very beginning, all the way to the end, is we're going to have to say, no matter what, God, we're with you. That choice, that's our trials, our tribulations. That's what's going on. And God's working through it. So anything you're going through, I got me started. Tuesday, I woke up with such a spirit of discouragement upon me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just overwhelmed. And I thought, wow. So I started praying. I said, okay, I'm not going for this.
Right.
What's going on? And I was going to put out there, you know, the spirit of discouragement is very strong. And I began to pray about it. And I thought, well, that's just me. I'm the only one going through this. Before the day was up, I found out all kinds of stuff. That there is such a war right now. Such a war. Because we're being tried. Israel's being tried. Everything's coming.
Yes.
And God is providing. You just got to know who he is.
Amen.
That's why he said, I never knew you. I never was intimate with you. You weren't personal with me.
Right, right.
You took my name, but you didn't. That's it.
Amen. You took it in vain, really.
Yeah.
That's another way to look at that. Now, brother, I want to increase Brother Jeff's faith right now, because you said you went 6 months without a job. Brother Jeff has moved. Have you found a job yet, brother?
No.
This brother needs a job. Now, we're on Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He provided, right? So stretch your hands to Brother Jeff. Brother Timothy, lay hands on Brother Jeff right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, as you provided the sacrifice for Abraham, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, you can provide anything, God. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So, Lord, we come together as believers asking you to move on Jeff's behalf, that he would get a good job, Lord, a good paying job, Lord, God. That'll be a blessing to him in faith, Lord, and provide their needs, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Okay, let's go to the next one. What's the next one say? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Amen. That says, our thing's acting up there. Oh, boy. Timothy, unplug that over, buddy, and plug it in. We're going to have to buy some more equipment here, folks. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. Has anyone truly, now don't raise your hand if not, I'm talking about, has anybody truly been healed by the Lord or have witnessed a healing? I know this guy right here has. Brother Cornelius has. Brother Steve. Sister Bridget has. Pam Rust has. Healer. Amen. This is found in Exodus 15:26. It says, if you listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments. Now, see, a lot of times, promises are conditional. These are the conditions that they have to do. That's why sometimes our prayers don't get answered. I'm going to teach on that sometimes. He says, I'll put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Amen. That song, you are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord my healer. He sent his word and healed their diseases, scripture says. Amen. Showing my age tonight. What's the next one? Jehovah Nissi. Oh, I like this one. Brother Steve Russ, I think you know something about Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. That's our banner of victory. Amen. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. Amen. Tell me, brother, I know you know.
It also means my success.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And boy, we all want success in what we do. So that's what we say, Jehovah Nissi. I need to be successful today, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's all I got, brother.
Well, look these references up because you'll see the whole story behind this. Amen. If you're watching online, or you can go back and watch us online and screenshot these and look these up. Okay, let's go to the next one here. We may have covered Jehovah Shalom. Oh, boy. The Lord our peace. It says, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands at Ophrah and belongs to the, whoever that is, Abazarites, or however you say that. Amen. Look at that up. Judges 6, 24. Listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And I'm telling you that, again, sometimes you don't experience God unless you go through something, difficulty sometimes. And it's not fun. But I want to give a personal testimony real quick. My grandfather was the first person to die in our family. Never experienced a death. I was probably in my 20s. So I walked in the hospital. I was one of the first ones there because I worked at Huntington Bank on Industrial Road, and I got right over to Edge, Sandy Edgewood. Oh, yeah, she was my co-partner there working at the bank. Forgot about that, yes. So anyway, my grandfather died, so I rushed over to the hospital. My uncle had beat me there, and I was the second one in. So I saw my grandfather lying there lifeless. And I'm telling you, it hit me so hard. It was like somebody just punched me in the gut as hard as they. I mean, I doubled over. I mean, I went like that, doubled over in pain. But I promise you, with the same level of grief that I experienced, the Holy Ghost came upon me, and God gave me such a peace that I had never experienced before until I experienced that. And I could have started speaking in tongues because the Holy Ghost peace and presence was that strong. It was like, here's the grief, and the Holy Ghost was, bam, you ain't going to overtake him today. No, no, no. Not today. And I heard another brother that I worked with at World Harvest. He said the same thing. He's like, there's a certain peace that God gives when we lose a loved one or friend that it's hard to explain it until you experience it. I hope you don't experience it, but I'm just telling you there, for me, I experienced Jehovah Shalom. Next one there, brother. Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. What's the other word for? Is it Jehovah Roi? Jehovah Roi, Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. I could preach the rest all night on this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.